Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Welcome to The Watchman. Today I want to talk a bit about certain things. First, about the Pope. He came here, we saw, he went around the country, and he started in Kenya on his Africa visit, although Kenya was really, really, by the way, the truth is, the Pope came to Africa to go to Uganda and to go to the Central African Republic. Those were the countries that he was interested in, and for specific reasons. Now, if you've been following this show, you know what I think about the Pope, and not just I, but I have showed you comprehensively in so many ways why I'm totally convinced that he's on a mission. He's apostate. He's on a mission. He's supposed to fulfill something in these end times, and that something is not of God, lest you be fooled. It is totally not of God. Now, actually, it's demonic. It's top level demonic. Now, my name is Joseph Kableta, and I'm telling you that the Pope is demonic. Actually, he's at the one of the topmost levels of influence in the demonic world. Now, these things I don't just say anyhow. I know what I'm talking about. Now, I don't care if you don't believe me, because when we saw when he was coming, we saw so many things which we had seen are going to happen in the spiritual realm, and we prayed about them. The Lord led us to pray about them, and actually we mitigated so many of the things that he was supposed to have done, because his appearance here and all the apparent euphoria, excitement, and all those things, and the media coverage, not just locally but across the world, was supposed to draw certain people into certain things. Now, he was in this country because he went to Central African Republic because there is a big conflict there between Christians and Muslims, and because he is the one person who is supposed to unite all faith, all religions, in the formation of Revelation 13, one world religion, which is going to be under the papacy, under the rule of the Pope. So, and this is the Pope his agenda from the beginning, and I've told you this before, his agenda from the beginning has been about putting all manner of belief, not just mainstream beliefs, not just monotheic beliefs, monotheic meaning religions which believe in one God, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, but all kinds of beliefs. And he has had summits at the Vatican, and you've seen that, it's been all on the news, whether you've seen it or not, in which they have people like the Dalai Lama, who heads a very serious religious cult, Buddhist leaders, Hindu leaders, African traditionalists, that is witch doctors and so on, and all those have been hosted by him at the Vatican. And of course, they were talking about all these noble things, and it was a very big occasion. Actually, it was much of it was even live on CNN, and it was being moderated, the debate was being moderated by CNN's Christiane Amanpo. So all man of belief, and it's not the first time that under the auspices of UN and all that, that there is an attempt to unite all religions. Now, we know that this is all in the Bible, and we know, I've talked to you about that before, it's in Revelation 13. It talks about how there's going to be a one world religion, and how there's going to be a second beast. There's going to be a first beast, then there's going to be a second beast. Now, the second beast is the beast that is, from Revelation 13, is the beast that is the Antichrist, that is the Antichrist. Now, the first beast is the beast that is the false prophet. I've actually confused them. The Antichrist is the first, false prophet is the second. Although actually the false prophet actually comes before and leads people to all worship the Antichrist. Okay? And is in charge of a one world religious system to which everybody who is, just about everybody will be subscribing. The only people who will not subscribe to it are the true born again children of God. the real ones, not those who have been drawn into the worldly systems and trying to look for, you know, or the, and I've heard some of the things which people, some even born again, so he comes here and says we should evangelize those who are unbelievers, and somebody sent me a message in which somebody who is born again said that this Pope's evangelism is even better than so many of those we see in the Pentecostal churches. And I'm thinking, excuse me? Okay, now, that is really, really rubbish. That is absolute rubbish. Did he quote the Bible? Did he say anything about the Bible? Did he say anything about how Jesus Christ died for people's sins? Okay, does he say that? You know, you have to understand that there are certain things that are the cardinal message of the cardinal Christian message. Number one, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Number two, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now, that is evangelism. Anything outside of that, and you know this, you know, we should what us anyhow, but we kind of expected that. But like I told you, we prayed about it and made sure that it was at a minimum, so not so many people were actually swayed by him in the way that it could have been, because we had been seeing in dreams and visions of how there were so many people were going to be swayed by the whole thing, and it was going to create such huge hype. So he came to this country because of our unique calling in this end time, and I've spoken to you about that before, how this nation has a very unique calling in this end time, and how he had come to neutralize it. Okay, don't forget, Pope Francis is a top servant of the devil. My name is Joseph Kableta, and I'm telling you, Pope Francis is a top servant of the devil. He is the third person of the devil's trinity, which involves the dragon, which is Satan himself, the Antichrist, who is yet to be revealed, and the false prophet, who is Pope Francis. Okay, so he's a top level person. Now, the reason we could not pray and stop him from coming here is because some of the people whom we were praying with were actually divided in their opinion. There was no unity of and I was asking people to be that we are unified, because we are dealing with somebody who is high level. You understand, this is not praying about some, you know, this is high level, and everywhere he goes, you see the people whom he meets people who are top. Many of them are top in the demonic world. They might hold some jurisdictions here that you know about, but then they are somewhere, and then he tries to neutralize things. And there are certain things. He was supposed to come here earlier, and then the president went and signed the anti-homosexuality bill. Then he cancelled it allegedly because of a business schedule, but of course it was because of the anti-homosexuality bill. Then he was supposed to come here earlier this year. Then that time I think there was a lot more unity in terms of for our prayer, because we prayed, and actually he said he had given up, he had lost interest in coming to Uganda. But then he revived the interest, and now we asked people to pray, but now people are kind of divided. People are thinking maybe he should, maybe he shouldn't. People are saying maybe he is not, and all these things. But what we needed is a core group of believers who actually knew what they were dealing with, and who would have stood together so that we can handle that corporately. Because it's not something that you can handle individually, if you know what I'm talking about. So he came to Uganda to neutralize that, but it did not happen, because before him God sent also a top level servant of his, a top level servant of God. Okay, and that top level servant of God came to this country and proclaimed a blessing earlier before the Pope came, and that blessing actually kind of neutralized what the Pope had come to do. And so all of the things that were intended for his visit might not unfold the way he had intended them. I will not tell you which servant of God came here, but if you've had your ears on the ground, you probably know whom I'm talking about, and he's not an American. You understand, he's an African. But I will not tell you who it is, but he's a top notch servant of God. So he came here and he kind of neutralized, he just before the Pope came. Then Central African Republic, because that's a country where it is they're almost split between, it's almost like one of those countries where the total split between Christians and Muslims, because almost there's almost no majority. Like it's almost a dead heat in terms of the number of Christians and Muslims, and there's been a great fighting there. And when he went there, you read what he did. He went to the mosque, united Muslims and Christians and what, which on the outside, of course, looks good, and of course is reported as good, and everybody is praising him. Man, he's such a wonderful person and what. But you know, you have to know the Bible to understand what I'm talking about. If you don't, then you not understand. Because and then also on the other hand, if you attended the Watchman conference, I showed you the coronation of this Pope and how it fitted into very top Masonic and Illuminati symbolism in terms of numbers and all these things, and all the run up to it. I told you his Jesuit background, I told you what oaths the Jesuits take. I read the oath at the Watchman conference. I showed so many things there that anybody who attended knows what I'm talking about. We even had some Catholics, staunch Catholics, who came there, and initially when they heard, they were in resistance, but when they actually saw the evidence, which is right there, it is, and when I presented factual evidence, many of them left when they were born again, and I know some who left when they were born again. There's a lady who told me her mother is a staunch Catholic, but came there, and when she heard what I was teaching about, she thought the mother was going to be offended. How can you speak like this about the Pope? But it was unveiled. Of course, there was also, you know, the Holy Spirit who kind of eases people of their, you know. And at the end of the conference, the woman was converted. She actually said, her daughter told me, she told me, you buy for me a radio so that I can continue listening to this kind of message if you say this guy is on radio every Wednesday. So I know how these things. So if don't get swayed. I know so many people have, not that many, but maybe a few people here and there are getting swayed, you know, because all the world's opinion is so strong for Pope Francis, stronger than it has ever been for any other Pope. And that's not by coincidence, you understand. Jesus Christ says the world will believe its own. And that's what happens. You know, when somebody comes and hears the praise of the world, you just know he's from the devil. Pure and simple. Pure and simple. Regardless of how good he might appear and everything. Some of the people would be shockers. Now, for instance, I'll tell you Mother Teresa was a very demonic woman. But you wouldn't believe it because you don't know. But I know that she was a very demonic woman who believed in those Eastern religions and all those things, and of course had all this nunship and what, and Nelson Mandela. Everybody whom you see the world praising, and you know, praising, just know the world receives those of their own. Jesus Christ said, the world cannot receive me. They reject me. Because the world has a God. 1 Corinthians 4:4 says the devil is the God of this world. So when you come and you're from Jehovah, the world, there's a way they reject you. So everything, just like Jesus, people just turn around, turn against you, crucify him and what. And these are people who 1 minute ago were like, they are caught because you are alien to the world. That's why he says you are in this world, but you are not of this world. So people who want world praise and who want to be accepted by the media channels and all that, you cannot serve the devil when you want. You cannot serve the Lord when you want those things, because they don't belong. Because those are platforms that belong to the devil, and they are not going to praise somebody who belongs to God. Okay, if you just look at all these media channels and their ownership from. At the beginning of this year, I told you something. I preached a message, 15 things that you should expect in 2015. And I've been doing a stock of all of them. And quite a number of them actually did come to pass. And we looked at a cover of The Economist magazine. The Economist magazine published by the Rothschild family, which is one of the top families in the United Kingdom. But they're also one of the top Masonic and Bilderberg families. So the people who, you know, have control over this world. Now see what they do, what they are planning, because now these people are determined. They have a lot of resources. They use these resources to expand the kingdom of the devil. Now that's exactly what happens. Make no mistake. So what you hear to December, Mark Zuckerberg gave 99% of his Facebook shares to charity and what, you just look at what kind of charities he's giving to, and you'll see. I haven't checked, I'm just guessing, but I can almost bet most of the charities are going to be promoting certain things, homosexuality and what. They know how to promote their things. They know, the servants of the devil know how to promote their things, and they will spare no expense when it comes to promoting their garbage. Okay? Now, you see, CNN, of course, is owned by Turner, whatever, and Ted Turner, the owner of it, okay, at least part owner of it, as well as other things, Turner Movies and, you know, all those other things, gave $1 billion, think about it, $1 billion to United Nations to push for the world, one world government, okay, under the Antichrist. Of course, they didn't say under the Antichrist, but to push for the one world government. But we know under the Antichrist. Now look at the resources, the amount of resources I'm talking about, $1 billion. Okay, who else? Bill Gates. Oh man, climate change. Now the big conference taking place in Paris on climate change. Of course, climate change is a chwani, but why is it there? Because they are trying to get, it's going to be a big source of total control of production and resources for all the world by the people who want to control those things. When I was teaching you about the New World Order, I told you how there is a group of people who want to have total control over this world, remove a middle class, create kind of bourgeoisie, and then the servants, reduce population, and all these plans have been in offing for a long time. Reduce population, do all these things. They have used so many things, from HIV to Ebola to what, and they create these things purposely to reduce populations of people whom they call, and I have quoted here, and I quoted elsewhere, top notch people who said these things in conferences, saying how the useless eaters, people who are not contributing to what, and they have their way of thinking, okay? And it's all passed on, of course, from the God of this world. And there are people whom I told you before are called Bilderbergs, who are like the cabinet of the God of this world. These are top-notch, very rich people who control almost all the financial, pharmaceutical, political, educational, media conglomerates, and these are people at the very top of everything, and they are not that many. Actually, they started, it was started in 1950s. They were called the Bilderbergs. The reason they are called Bilderbergs is because they first met in a place called the Hotel the Bilderberg, and so they sat there, about 300 people, but who control everything. Just know anybody who is anybody in this world sit in those meetings. Now they push agendas, they decide what they are going to be pushing for that year. In that year, they will meet once a year. So I told you before that they talked about artificial intelligence, the last Bilderberg meeting, artificial intelligence is machines doing work of men, things which you've seen previously in Hollywood that have been promoted as, that have been shown to you as science fiction. If you watch the book, the movie Surrogates, featuring Bruce Willis and things like that, even Avatar, which was such a big hit not too many years ago. Now, these are first started as science fiction in the movies, but now these people are promoting artificial intelligence, and it's eventually going to go to that sort of area where human beings, a certain caliber of human beings who are selected, can get rid, can achieve immortality. And how do they do that? When your body, this shell of yours in which you dwell, gets old and you're going to die, they remove, they are seeking to find one in which they can remove your brain and, the parts of you that function, and put them into some kind of robot. Now that robot, of course, is going to be mostly, it's robotic, so it's not going to get cancer, all those things. Now they are pushing for all these things through so much research, which is now they are going into stem cell research, of course, something that you've heard so much about. They are going into mixing genetics of animals and human beings. These things have reached in advanced stages whereby they get different aspects from here and there. Now when they come and develop this thing and it is fully developed, and I think it already is just waiting to be rolled out, they introduce it to people as one big scientific discovery, but it comes out as very expensive only for given people. So of course, those are the top first receive it and all those, but those are the cabinet, or at least the cabinet of people who are working in the bureaucracy of the God of this world, who is Satan. Now, when those people push that for that, now after some time, they make you want it. I mean, because you can't afford it, probably it's, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and you can't afford it. So you stay in this. And it's introduced in one way. Now, eventually, they roll it out to everybody and make it easier for everybody to get. Okay? Now, when that happens, it is it is so easy for it to be sold to people. But remember, that is the mark of the beast. That's how it is going to come in. It is going to come in that way. And that's how you sell things. Remember how when mobile phones were issues of prestige? I remember when I was young and I saw some lady driving a BMW speaking on a mobile phone, when, you know, mobile phones were such a novelty and they had just come here and there was, you know, sell tale and all that. And man, I was thinking, wow, that is the mark of achievement, driving a powerful BMW and speaking on a mobile phone. So there was it creates in you that longing of, I wish I had it. So now when eventually mobile phones came and everybody could get it, everybody went and got it, because they you already had the longing for it. Now if mobile phones came and they were as available as they are now at the start, some people would have shunned them because they are for everybody. But you see, you first make them a very high product thing, something only for top guys. Then eventually you say, okay, now also you poor guys, let's just make a dispensation for you. Come and receive it. Then all poor guys go, not knowing that they're actually going to receive the mark of this. Now, after they've done that, then eventually they go and say that now it is compulsory, you have to have it, because we need it for security, we need it to monitor your health, we need it for that, it's for your own benefit. What? So it's compulsory, so you have to go and get it. Now those who don't get it are in serious trouble. Then if you don't get it, then you're denied commerce, you cannot have a job, you cannot buy, you cannot sell, as the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13. Now that's how these things are developed. But you have to understand, they are developed first of all through people capturing your mind, and they capture your mind through trends that seem classy and things like that, and people and human beings whom they promote and they make them so big. I told you how sex change is going to become a big thing in 2015, among the things I talked about, as the devil tries to confuse between the genders. Now we've seen that now some chain stores in the so-called developed world are removing areas for men and women, okay, because they're trying to remove the barrier between genders. Men and women are the same. And just in case you don't know, that is top level demonic agenda, you understand. So now where you would go, let's say, to a store to buy clothes, and these are men and women, girls and boys, now no, that is discrimination. It's all the same. Eventually they are even going to go to bathrooms or toilets and start saying, no, ladies and gents, you're all the same, use the same toilet. The world is just going crazy, eh? You understand, eh? And the devil had an agenda from long ago, because man is God's crown jewel, the crown of his creation, okay? So the devil is looking back, he sees what happens, okay? He has fallen. He's been cast away from the garden of God, but he has not yet been judged, okay? But he's been cast away from the garden of God. Now, what does God do? God goes and creates man. First of all, creates everything that man is going to need. Then he creates man, okay? Then God starts having fellowship with man, and man has direct access to God to worship him. So the devil realizes that now somebody has taken up his place. So he comes and he confuses man. Now, from that time onwards, man became an enemy of the devil, because when the devil confuses men and makes them do stupid things in the name of development, in the name of modernity, and all those things, he sees how much it hurts God. And that is the only way he can hurt God, by hurting man. So you will confuse so many things and make people do stupid things. And things, and you and don't you think that the devil just doesn't stand back and laugh when he sees two men together, that my partner and what? Eh? He just laughs, and probably even laughs in the face of God and says, now you see your guys. Eh? I mean, it is so clear that this is fake. Even animals can't do this, but men are doing it. Okay? So it's kind of like that. So he wants to turn everything upside down. Now, I was reading in Switzerland how there is a lot of abuse, sexual abuse of horses. People going to have sex with horses. And I've told you before, horses is just one of the animals, because they are clinics now, more or less like brothels. Now, almost all across Europe, I've read them in Netherlands, in Germany, in Switzerland, in Sweden, in Denmark, in all those countries where people go and pay money to have sex with animals. Now, can you imagine what a good laugh the devil has when he sees a human being created in the image of God having sex with an animal? And he just laughs and says, now you see these guys. And you know, he knows that hurts God, because he knows how much God values men. Okay, and that's the only way he can get to God in any way. So now, all these things, now you just have to make sure that you guard your mind from certain things which are promoted in the world, as you know, as modern and all those things. You have to guard your mind and understand that if you don't understand, even if you are not somebody who is perhaps knows the Bible or believes you know, everything in it, and what, maybe you're somebody who is just, you have to know one thing, that everything in the world is from either the world of God or the world of demons. It's like there are hardly any gray areas. You understand? Now, if you don't understand the context of that, certain things will never make sense to you. They will never make sense to you. And even when somebody tries to come and makes them make sense to you, you'll become offended and you'll think they are talking rubbish, because you've not understood the context in which it comes. For instance, you cannot understand the context of politics in the 1960s and 1970s until you learned the Cold War between the West and the East, between communism and capitalism. Two big ideologies that were competing for the world. You will not understand why the West hated Nelson Mandela when he was fighting against apartheid, because they saw him as a communist. You will not understand why, I mean, all these things, so many things will never make sense to you until you understand that there is a war. Okay? For instance, you might be in a workplace and there are these two ladies who don't understand each other. I mean, who don't like each other, and they are very unreasonable. When one comes up with this position, the other has to come up with the other position, and you wonder why. Now, it will never make sense to you until you know they are probably competing for the same man. Then when you know that, then you say, okay, now suddenly it makes sense. So in likewise, you have to understand that the world, everything is either of God or of the devil. Okay, there are no gray areas. It's just pure and simple. From ideologies to doctrines to things. And when you are not pushing, advancing the kingdom of God, you are advancing the kingdom of the devil, whether intentionally or inadvertently. That's precisely what you're doing. So you're either advancing one kingdom or the other. You have to know that there is a battle of kingdoms, and that battle is a battle for souls. Okay? On the one hand, is the battle to get as many souls as possible to get to heaven, where the Lord God dwells and live in his paradise. On the other hand, is a battle which involves the devil and his servants, whom he has given some of them so many things in this world purposely, and their purpose is to convert as many souls as possible to hell. Okay, now it's just that simple. It's just as simple, because not too long from now, nothing else is going to matter. It is either going to be your either this side or the other side. You're either one side or the other side. So now, and if you end up on the wrong side, it gets to a point where you're so deep on the wrong side that you could no longer have the ability to even look at the right side, especially if the right side has been exposed to you one way or the another, and you've continually refused to listen to it. Now, those who are listening to it for the first time, for them, they will have the dispensation, they will have the grace to believe. But people who have been exposed to the truth over and over and over and over again, and you deliberately decide to believe things because you think it's cool to be something, it's cool to be seen as this, it's cool to be seen as that. You see, that's why the Bible in the book of Revelation, it says all, you know, dogs and liars and cowards will be in hell. There are some people even who are too cowardly to stand up for a position and say, this is what I believe in, because they want to fit in. They want to fit into some category which has been presented to them as ideal, as cool, as admirable. And so they will go down the drain with it when it is clear that they're on the wrong. Why is that? Because they don't want to stand out and be the one person whom people can look up to. So Revelation chapter 22 and verse 11 says, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. Okay? He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. So on the one hand are those who are filthy and those who are unjust. On the other hand are those who are righteous and those who are holy. And they say, let those who are righteous and holy still be righteous and holy. Let them continue being that way. Now those who are filthy and unjust, let them be like that still. What does that mean? That means that there is coming a time of separation when there is not going to be any gray areas. Even among the people who are in church, who are purportedly serving God, yet they are actually serving the devil. And they have names as pastors, about all these things, but they're actually serving the devil. After some time, it is going to be so evident that anybody who follows them because they have chosen to be unjust still and to be filthy still. But there will no longer be confusion whereby people are following somebody thinking is a man of God, yet he's actually not a man of God. That time is coming very soon. Very, very soon. Then those who are righteous and those who are holy, it will be evident. There will be a clear separation. And those who come to them will come because they want to be like them. They want to be righteous. They want to be holy. And they come to those people and they are converted, those who can still be converted, and there will be no confusion. Because right now, there is a lot of confusion. There are people who have a name as being servants of the devil, yet actually they are servants of God. There are those who have a name of being servants of God, yet they actually are servants of the devil. So there is a total confusion one way or the other. But that confusion is not going to last long. I'm telling you, this is just one of so many scriptures which actually speak of that prophecy. And then there's another prophecy I want to share with you, and it is from the book of Ezekiel, and it's a prophecy about the shepherds. Okay, shepherds, of course, now in this case, now this is prophetic really, and shepherds in this case means actually shepherds of God's people, pastors, preachers, anybody who is in leadership, who is shepherding God's people, prophets, apostles, evangelists. So shepherds does not necessarily mean pastors, so to speak, even if that's the direct translation. Here in this case, it means anybody who is, you know, herding the children of God. And it says, and the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel 34, okay? And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy against to them. Says, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Now think about that today, okay? And think about people who are in ministry and are feeding themselves rather than feeding the flocks. He says, verse 3, you eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. Okay? And how do you feed the flock? And now, feeding of the flock here in this case actually means feeding on the flock on the real proper word of God. You understand? You do not feed the flock. Then he says, verse 4, the weak you have not strengthened. Okay? So people come into churches when they are weak, when they don't understand, when they need to understand, when they are being tossed around by the devil, when they are doing this and doing that, and they are not fed, they are not strengthened. And it is, and these are scenarios which are happening here today. And by the way, this thing has become, this year it started happening. But let me first tell you what it is completely, okay? The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor have you sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. Now that sounds like, unfortunately, sounds like a lot of what I see happening in the church today. And you know, I don't say things to be critical, because I hate being critical. I just say things because I know this is a prophecy and something is going to happen. It started this year. Some people didn't notice it, but you are going to see it strongly next year. So they have scattered. That's the flock. Because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Now, this is true. And I can't tell you how many people I know who don't even have churches they go to. And you can say it is wrong for them not to have churches and what. But because they have gone to churches and all they see is exploit. I mean, they don't see a loving God. They don't see shepherds that feed the flock, that bind up the weak, that strengthen the weak, that heal the sick, that bind up the broken. So they run away and they are scattered. They don't want, they are not in church. They run away and they're scattered. Not, they are not in church, not because they don't want to be in church. They are not in church because they don't see care. They don't see shepherd in the church. And he says, because they ran away, they have become prey for the beasts of the field. What are the, what's the beast of the field? Demons. I wish you knew some of the things we come up against in when we meet people, when I go to start meeting people, and you know the things that people have been taught and the struggles they go through and what. And these are things which can be eliminated through simple biblical knowledge. But then they have people teaching over them who don't even know the Bible. They don't have an idea. Okay, they have an idea, but they don't know the Bible. They don't know the depth of it. So anyhow, so they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Then he says in verse 6, I'm reading from Ezekiel 34. It says in verse 6, my shepherd wandered through all the mountains and on every hill. Yes, my flock, my sheep rather, wandered through all the mountains and on every hill. My flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely, because my flock became prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherd, and I will require my flock at your hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may no longer be food for them. Now this is what is going to happen, and it has already started happening. Now people who are in ministry and are not doing the work of God, as in not really, they might not even be doing anything heretical, so to speak, as in false, but they are not doing the work of God. They are not getting the proper word. They are not getting the proper, they are not feeding the flock in the proper way. The flock are going to be taken away. And now you wait. It has started this year. It's going to be very big next year. There are people who have been big in the churches. They do big things. They organize big things. But it is all for their pockets. You wait and see. The flock, God, and this is prophetic for this time, by the way. The flock are going to have their eyes opened, and they will see who truly cares for them and who doesn't. And the shepherds who do not have green sheep for the flock will lose the flock. And it will just happen like that. They will lose all ability to keep the flock around, and eventually they will lose them. And where will the flock go? To people who have been prepared as a new breed of shepherds, who actually have been prepared by the Lord to care for the sheep, to feed them the proper word, and to give them their food in due season. Remember what Jesus said about a servant whom he left, okay, to look after. The master who left his servant to look after his household and went on a faraway journey and said, I will come back. And the Bible says that the servant waited and waited, and the master wasn't coming. So he says, my master is dying and he's coming. And what did he say? He said, so he started beating up and oppressing the flock. Then the Bible says, blessed is that servant whom the master comes and finds giving food, giving the servants food in due season. In due season means you get it straight from God, and it is fresh rema, and you give it to them in due season. Not give them a word for last year, and you give it to them this year. You give it to them in due season. For you to give out due season, it means you have to be seeking the Lord every time. You have to be seeking the Lord every time. Because if you don't seek the Lord, you don't have fresh food. Okay? So you have to give them fresh pastures, and you have to give them fresh water all the time. Fresh water meaning fresh, you know, spirit, rebirth of the spirit. So, he says, blessed are those whom the master comes and finds, giving them food in due season, because he will appoint them to be rulers over what? Over cities. That's what is going to happen in the millennium, when people who have been faithfully serving God will be ruling over cities, when Christ is ruling this and the millennium. And it is not too far away. We are not talking 30 years. It cannot be 30 years. It is much less than that. And it is not far away. This millennium that we are talking about. Now, then he says, but those servants who started oppressing their fellow servants, whom the master left them in charge of, he will come and he will apportion them their portion outward, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, that's unfortunate. That's what Jesus said, of course. So now I'm telling you this, that you're going to see this happening next year. A lot of people who have built their thing on reputation, who have built it on the ability to market, to talk big and all those things, are going to lose it so swiftly, and it's going to happen so fast. You look around for them and they will not be able even to gather 10 people. Not even 10 people. They will call, they will do all the marketing, all the things they know, and they will not even be able to gather 10 people. Unless it is of the Lord. The Lord cannot let people gather together unless it is of Him. And one person have authority over them. The Tower of Babel, that scenario is repeated all the time, when people gather together and they're in one mind, but it's not of the Lord. He will separate them. He does that all the time. So, but of course there is nobody who has to go into this. The warning here is that it's for the children of God to actually turn back to the Lord and say, give us fresh food for your children. Anybody can do it even now. And the restoration and the times of refreshing will come back immediately. Okay? Immediately, just like that. Restoration comes for anybody who is interested in it. Of course, some people are saying, what authority do you have to speak? Who are you even? How long have you been in ministry? I'm sure there are people who are thinking like that right now. What authority do you have to speak about these things? What do you know? And things like that. Well, you will see what I know when it comes to pass. You'll see what I know and what I've studied. Anyhow, those are some of the things. So we are continuing with our night prayers. Please come. By the way, last time I was impressed with the attendance on 15th, or rather on last Friday, because that was when the Pope was around. He had just come, and some of the roads were blocked, and there was a lot of actually fear around. There were very few cars in town because nobody wanted to be caught up in the, you know, in the curfew of the Pope. But still, so many people came and prayed, and we received a wonderful time of prayer. And I've noticed so many things at the night prayer. First of all, people who came and they couldn't pray even for 10 minutes or even 5 minutes, and I saw so many of them now are praying, and I can see the intensity of prayer has increased. Okay, because we are dealing with babes. And actually, the scripture the Lord gave me was Psalms 8:2, which says, out of the, you know, of the mouth of babes I'm going to perfect praise. So we are dealing with that. And those people who came there who couldn't speak in tongues, now people have started being baptized by the Holy Spirit and are speaking in tongues. So I'm not even there, by just by being exposed to that atmosphere, they go home, they seek the Lord, and they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they come back saying, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, now I'm speaking in tongues. Now these things are happening, and I just thank God, because now they are beginning to pray and to realize answers to prayers, real prayers. And I also started teaching about how to be led by the Holy Spirit and to do the will of God in your life, how to be led by the Holy Spirit all the time. I'm doing a whole series on it, and it's nobody is going to remain the same after listening to this, because it's a whole series and it's based on experiential. And the Lord told me last Monday, the other Monday, to go and do that. And there are seven ways in the book of Acts by which the Holy Spirit speaks, seven ways, and I'm going to be discussing them at the night prayers. I've only tackled one so far, but we are going to be looking at the rest of them in the course of the next night prayer. So come to the night prayer, the Watchman Overnights. They start at 10, or actually around 9:30. They're at Uma Showgrounds in Lugogo, Uma Showgrounds, and the Madivani Hall. The Madivani Hall is glass, it is blue, it has the symbol of Madivani. You cannot miss it. Just walk around the showgrounds. You won't have walked 10 minutes before you see the Madivani Hall if you've not been there before. If you've not come to the overnight, please come. Please come. You don't know what you're missing. And all partners, I thank you so much, because you've been faithful. But if you haven't paid your partnership for this new month, I request that you do, because we are counting on you now. We registered all partners. We have in excess, we have actually about 100 partners now registered, new partners. So we are counting on you to send your partnership seed, because we need it, or rather because it helps us do ministry. We don't need it. My point is that you're giving to God, and God doesn't have a need, but it's the means by which we get so many things done in ministry. And I'm sure that you will see a blessing in your life, and I'm sure that you will have a testimony. And we're having so many testimonies, by the way, at the overnight. I am just so impressed by the things that God is doing. And because I've been praying for this, I don't want it to be a routine, a ritual. People come, people go, people come, people go, people pray, people stay the same. Nobody is going to come and pray and stay the same at the Watchman Overnights. Nobody. Nobody. After 3 months, there has to be a difference. And I've been telling people that after 3 months, there has to be a difference in your life, which is discernible, which is undeniable. Anyway, I have to stop here right now. If you want to send a seed to this ministry, if you want to become a partner and send a seed, please send it to this mobile money number. The number is 0780-292-555. The number is 0780-292-555. 0780-292-555. So get that number there. You can send your seed to it. And if you want to ask us a question or to register as a partner, you can also send an SMS or a WhatsApp to that number, or you can use the email address, which is ugandanwatchman@gmail.com, ugandanwatchman@gmail.com. Now we are sending out recorded messages to close to 1,000 people who have requested for them over the time. So now all these messages, we send them out to 1,000 people, and we hope they send them out to as many people. They do, actually, because we are receiving messages from far away, by the way, out of the country. So anyhow, use those forums. Thank you so much for joining us.
Do you want to see how Bible prophecy fits perfectly into contemporary news? What's this business about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast? Who is the Antichrist? Be him alive? How shall the number 666 be introduced in commerce? The Watchman dissects fascinating insights into the end times and Bible prophecy. Make a date with The Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6. Tune in and stay on